Hey guys, it's Vivek Ramaswamy here, inviting you to listen to my podcast, Truth. We just relaunched it after the campaign, and we are already riding up the podcast charts. Here's why. I think that hard, in-depth conversations about the tough issues is the only way we're going to get this country back. Because make no mistake, we are currently in a war for the future of America, and you cannot win a war unless you're willing to speak the truth. If you want standard conservative talking points, this podcast is not for you. But if you want to go deeper and hear the conversations you're not going to find anywhere else, the conversations that will challenge you, that will challenge me, then subscribe to Truth with Vivek Ramaswamy on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I promise you, you're going to cover terrain that you're not going to hear elsewhere.
Welcome to the Tucker Carlson Podcast, where every story is an honest story and not one of them has been massaged or influenced or censored by a corporate gatekeeper. We've made a lot of these. You can find all of it and a lot of exclusive content at tuckercarlson.com. We hope you'll check that out. Here's today's episode. So over the past, say, 10 years, our leaders, that would be the Democratic Party, the so-called business community, and in fact, a lot of Republican leaders, have allowed into our country, against federal law and against our will, tens of millions of foreigners. Now, the question is, why have they done this? And by the way, we should say not just let them in, but paid for them to come, either overland through Latin America, through Mexico and our southern border, or by plane from the rest of the world. American citizens paid for that. And of course, when they arrive, they receive the entire suite of federal benefits, also at the expense of taxpayers. But the question remains, why? Why would you bring in this many people in such a short period against the law? Now, in previous generations, the motive was really obvious. Farmers, for example, wanted cheap labor. We needed the help, or that was the argument anyway. But no one is making that argument now because you can't make it. There is no economic justification for bringing in tens of millions of people with lower than average educational attainment and no modern skills. And that's exactly what we've done. Because, of course, we don't need the help at all. We don't have a manufacturing sector. Agriculture is largely automated. And, of course, AI is about to render a lot of American workers obsolete, as jobs that people do will now be done by machines. So there is no way to justify, on economic grounds, mass immigration in 2024. So once again, why is it happening? And it's happening for political reasons. It's happening because the Democratic Party has ceased making the case for itself to Americans. And so in order to keep power, in fact, to expand their power and to preside over the one-party state that they desire, they're going to need a brand new electorate. And this is their electorate. Foreigners will choose your leaders. You're not allowed to choose the leaders of foreign countries, but foreigners will choose your leaders, including in this election. This 2024 presidential election. Well, how would that work? It's illegal, you say, for illegal aliens to vote in a federal election. Well, actually, it's not illegal, it turns out. Congress passed something in the U.S. code, the federal code, a line that, unbeknownst to the rest of us, makes it legal for illegal aliens to vote in federal elections if they believe they are citizens. It's a state of mind. Did you know that? We didn't know that. Most people didn't know that. Katherine Engelbrecht just found this provision in the U.S. Code. That's the kind of thing she reads because she's the founder of True the Vote and has been working on these issues for a few years now. And she joins us to explain what she's found. Katherine Engelbrecht, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So would you mind explaining what seems at first blush a very far-fetched idea that the U.S. Code, as of right now, as of our speaking, would allow illegal aliens to vote in the upcoming presidential election? How would that work?
Yeah, well, True the Vote, the organization I founded some years ago, has been long involved in looking at the accuracy of the voter rolls. And we've long maintained that inaccurate voter rolls lead to inaccurate elections. So with that as a backdrop, we've been very concerned about the lack of availability to determine citizenship status, not just by groups like ours, but by states themselves. They can't get close enough to a citizenship status database to make good determinations. that then led me to look a little deeper, because as you rightly lay out, there's a motivation here. So what might that be? We've seen many, many videos of people coming across the border who are talking about their excitement about voting for Joe Biden and claiming that they are citizens. But yet, we hear debates in Congress where the congressman will say, don't worry, non-citizens can't vote. It's a crime of perjury. It's a felony. So, okay. We took a deep look at the criminal code, and Title 18 left us just gobsmacked, because when you read all the way through it, as it lists all of the stipulations against non-citizen voting in federal elections, and lays out the penalties, therefore, scroll all the way down to the fine print, and what you read is that non-citizens can vote without penalty if, at the time they are voting, they believe themselves to be U.S. citizens.
Well, I mean, that seems insane. I mean, I'm taking your word for it. I'm not a lawyer or an expert in the federal code. But is there any other crime? Like, if I can show that I didn't know I was robbing a liquor store, I had a gun in my hand, I was demanding money, but I didn't really think it was robbery, does that shield me from being prosecuted for robbing a liquor store?
No, certainly not. But I will say that this state of mind idea is something that we've come up against in the past related to domicile. As we've done reviews of the voter rolls, and you see people that are registered, but they're registered to vacant lots, they're registered to fast food restaurants. And the press you get back from the state as well, but, you know, residency is a state of mind. This takes that to an entirely different level. And I'll tell you what I'm really concerned about, Tucker, is that when we lived through 2020 and we saw the landscape change, lawlessness take hold, we watched on the sidelines and said, surely this can't be what it looks like is happening. Surely this move to the mass mail of ballots and unmonitored drop boxes and third party election workers that have no proper training to support all of the ebbs and flows of process. Surely this can't be what's about to play out. And then when it did, you're left with scant few days to try to pick up the pieces and prove what really happened. I'm seeing this now play out in 2024 on this issue, much the same. And so it's my hope that we can awaken Americans to this problem and demand accountability before November so that we can decide if citizenship is truly a state of mind.
So can I ask about the law itself, the code that you're referring to? Do you think that suggests that the foreigner, because the proposition here is that we're allowing foreigners to choose our leaders, which is insane, of course. But is the law written in such a way that that foreigner will not be punished for voting in our elections, but will that vote still count? Is that clear?
Well, it's a great question, but you know, the ballots are anonymous. So once that ballot has been cast, either by mail and it's been separated from the envelope with which it's carried to the central count, so you can't tell who voted if that's been separated, the envelope from the ballot, and certainly by machine, you can't tell. So no, there's no way to pull this back. It's why it is critical that we get on the front side of this and have a very national discussion about the tracks we're heading down. This is a very, very dangerous proposition, and I believe it's been kept quiet for such a time as this.
So just to be clear, once foreign nationals, foreigners, have voted in our elections, and I don't think we're not allowed to choose China's president, are we? I don't think we are. But once their citizens choose ours, along with citizens from countries all over the world, once they vote, there's literally nothing we can do about it. We have to live with the outcome.
But live with the outcome, and then, you know, good luck in trying to prove this, because the voter rolls nationally are a joke. I mean, in private industry, all day, every day, private companies are resolving identity, residency, and citizenship in real time. The data exists to do this. The technology exists to do this. I mean, my word, You know, Google knows every time my heart beats. Data is there and available to track what you want to track. But yet, the states are not given any access to databases that would help determine citizenship at scale. They are given sort of a backdoor access to a database called SAVE, where you can check one application at a time. It's just not a reasonable solution. So this is something that I truly believe we could wake up the day after the election and say, what has just happened? And there's no way to undo it at that point. We've got to get ahead of it. We've got to have this debate now. What does it mean to be a citizen? Is it truly a state of mind when it comes to voting rights?
I mean, I don't think there's much of a debate there, right? I mean,
it shouldn't be.
I can't imagine anyone would take in public anyway. They never defend their positions at all anyway. But I don't think you could find a person who could say, yes, a foreigner ought to be allowed to choose your leaders because he thinks he's a citizen. Like, would anyone make that argument?
You wouldn't think so, but somebody did, because it's our law. It is in Title 18 of the U.S. Criminal Code that says, point blank, if the alien reasonably believed at the time of voting in violation of the subsection the code says, if the alien reasonably believed at the time of voting that he or she was a citizen of the United States, that they are subject to no prosecution. I've shown this to legislators. I've shown this code to immigration attorneys. I've shown it to our legal counsel. And they all just look back with a blank stare, like, how could this have been? But it is quite literally the last stipulation in this section of code. So you've got to read all the way down to the fine print. I just so happened to read it, and this is where we find ourselves.
Is there any question that the overwhelming majority of illegal aliens are going to vote Democrat when they vote, and they will vote?
Yeah, I certainly see that the NGOs and the outfits that are bringing them across the country are grooming them for that purpose. That seems to be very apparent. They are immediately given access to all manner of social service programs. Those social service programs have as a portion of the application an automatic voter registration feature. States aren't allowed to ask for citizenship, proof of citizenship upon registration. I mean, this is layer upon layer upon layer of dysfunction.
The Biden administration is registering illegal aliens to vote when they get here?
They certainly are setting up all of the place settings to do it. They are registering them for government-sanctioned programs like Medicaid, like Affordable Care Act. They're giving them access to food stamps, lodging, other welfare types of programs. All of those programs come with the application, a opt-out voter registration. So it is not at all beyond the realm of possibility that it's in fact exactly what's happening, that non-citizens are being registered. States have no ability to stop it. And if you are so fortunate as to find a way to prove this caught in the act, then you refer back to Title 18 that says, it was just a state of mind. So no harm, no foul, and it will be too late.
I mean, so the election already seems rigged.
If we don't do something about it, I believe that's going to be the likely outcome. You know, I lived through it in 2020. It was a thousand front war. There was so much that was happening. Lawlessness reigned. We are seeing the same type of engineered chaos today, but we have an opportunity to get ahead of it. We just must demand it. We must demand a transparent audit of voter rolls to make sure that those who are registered meet the criteria for identity, residency, and citizenship. Data exists to do that. Technology exists to do that. Totally, totally achievable. We must demand it, because this trap door, this threatens everything we know about our constitutional republic.
Does seem like the system's ending. I don't want it to end, but this is so nuts. And if the people who administer the system are intent on destroying it, it's kind of hard to know how, you know, it continues.
I share your concern. Being this close to our election process, as I have been through True the Vote for this many years, it does seem like the fix is in. But the American people are the reason for hope. there is nothing that we can't do if we stick together and press any given issue. This is just one that, you know, nobody seems to know about. Certainly we didn't until just not too long ago. I've not talked about it publicly until now because I wanted to make sure that I understood that what I was reading carried the weight that it seems to carry. And I've not found anybody to dissuade me from this belief. It is troubling is an understatement.
Well, yeah, it certainly is. I don't even have any more questions because I'm so bothered by what you just said. I hope you'll come back. Catherine Albrecht, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Tucker Carlson Podcast. If you liked it, be sure to hit subscribe and leave a review. And remember, we only release some of our interviews as podcasts. The only place you can get all of it, including past episodes, is tuckercarlson.com. And we hope you will.